baby. Yes. Welcome to the Riding the Bench Eagles podcast. A long time no see, ladies and gentlemen. It's been some time since I've recorded my last episode. Been very busy on my side of things, but we are here. And a lot has happened in Philadelphia. We might as well talk about it. So, it's funny. There's been a lot of talk throughout free agency, throughout the offseason, about Justin Simmons coming to Philadelphia. And I've made episodes in the past wanting to have Justin Simmons come to Philadelphia. And as, you know, the free agency period goes on and the offseason continues, it seems more and more likely that we are not going to sign Justin Simmons, whether the guy's asking for too much money. Whatever the case may be, he's still a free agent. And, you know, we talked about in the past how he loves Vic Fangio. Vic Fangio really likes him. And, you know, he'd be a great fit in Philadelphia. And I think he would be for a 2 to 3 year window. I think he'd be really just what the doctor ordered. But right now, it seems to me like he's asking for a lot of money. And also, the safety market in the NFL, the market's dictating that, hey, NFL doesn't necessarily value great safety play. I mean, like, you look outside of Xavier McKinney, who got the big bag at safety? Chauncey Gardner-Johnson got $11 million a year. Geno Stone got $7 million a year. I don't know of any other safety that has gotten signed at this point. Xavier McKinney was really the only one that got big, big money, and that's just due to his age. But the NFL is really telling you that they're not really valuing the value of safety play for whatever reason. Justin Simmons, a safety, a very damn good safety at that, virtually towards the end of the prime of his career, maybe smack dab in the middle of his prime, the NFL's telling you, not worth the money that you're asking for. So, if Justin Simmons were to somehow come down in price, would he be willing to take a team-friendly deal for Philadelphia? And I know we have a lot more cap space than most teams. I think we're like third most with like $20 million. But that's also the type of money that you need to go ahead and draft your rookie class for the upcoming NFL draft in April. So, it would have to be a really, really damn cheap deal for Justin Simmons to want to come here in Philadelphia and for Philadelphia to go ahead and sign him. And then it also begs the question, are they potentially looking at another safety? I know guys like Julian Blackman are out there, although he's kind of re-engaged in talks with the Indianapolis Colts because of the market that dictated that safeties aren't necessarily valued. So he may want to just go back there for a short-term deal or a one-year deal, take whatever money he can get and try to replicate the season that he had just last season. But he's a guy that if we don't get Justin Simmons and we really are talking about getting a safety, he would be a really, really nice addition too. I would love to have Justin Blackman on this team. I think he's a very, very good football player, a ball hawk safety, a guy like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson who just has a nose for the goddamn football. He would be a welcomed addition here. But doesn't seem like Howie Roseman, Jeffrey Lurie, or anybody else in that front office believes that we need to sign another safety. They feel good about Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Reed Blankenship, and everyone else in the room, potentially who we're going to draft. Which now brings me to Hassan Reddick. We still have Hassan Reddick on the roster. Oh, forgive me, guys. Before I even get into all of that, I forgot to introduce myself. I'm Asif Badi, longtime Eagle fan. I told you this is the Riding the Bench Eagles podcast. I try to do this every now and then, give my takes on the Philadelphia Eagles. Hit the like button, help support the show. Anywho, Hassan Reddick is still a Philadelphia Eagle. After all the offseason, they have been trying to say, hey, Hassan, look for a team that's willing to, you know, trade for you, give you a contract, and we'll make it happen. And it just seems like a lot of crickets. Not a lot of people have been inquiring, I guess, about Hassan Reddick. Maybe they have and the price is too high or whatever it is. Hassan Reddick is still a Philadelphia Eagle. And does this mean that he's going to be a Philadelphia Eagle going forward? Maybe. I don't think so, though. I think around draft time, we're going to probably see a move happen because he's going to cost quite a lot of money. And We signed Josh Sweat for 1 year, a true defensive end in this 3-4 scheme that we have with Vic Fangio. Does Hassan Reddick fit that scheme? It really depends on how much you feel like Nolan Smith and Bryce Huff are ready to step in and make an impact. Does Hassan Reddick seem like a guy that's willing to be a rotation piece? I don't know. I don't think he is. I think the guy is a tremendous pass rusher, not necessarily the greatest against the run, but that's not the worst thing in the world. But in a scheme where we saw him last season, where he had to drop back into coverage, wasn't very good in coverage. We saw him have to play the run a little bit more when he got more snaps. That didn't necessarily go well because the defense just wasn't good. And listen, you got the same body type in Nolan Smith, a guy that everybody believes in, that believes that, hey, he needs to get more reps this season. You got Bryce Huff, who you signed, who right now makes a little bit around the same amount of money as Hassan Reddick, the shiny new toy in Philadelphia, and Bryce Huff. Similar position, similar skill set in terms of pass rusher. Not necessarily the best against the run, but has high, high upside. Hassan Reddick may be on the way out by the time the NFL draft comes along. We shall see. It would be really, really interesting to see the dynamics here on the defensive side of the ball if everybody on the defensive line there comes back, and to see whether or not Vic Fangio uses Hassan Reddick like a true defensive end or an outside linebacker where he has to cover people. Because if that's the case, it might be a long season for Hassan Reddick. That's just my take on that. And the last couple of things that I want to talk about here, guys. We saw the press conferences for Jeffrey Lurie and Nick Sirianni on the 26th. But I want to focus more on Jeffrey Lurie. Because I watched the press conference and a lot of people, a lot of fans, I read in comments and, just some of the Eagle fans believe that, oh, one of the best owners in the NFL is in Philadelphia. You could tell he genuinely cares about the team, and that is why this team is as successful as it's been over the course of his tenure. Now, to a degree, I agree. I think Jeffrey Lurie is a decent owner. I think he really does do a good job about caring about the team. And yes, we've had a lot of success throughout his tenure. Hell, even as long as I've been an Eagles fan, which has been like 2007, we've seen a lot of successful teams in Philadelphia, a lot of talented rosters, and maybe a few mishaps every now and then. But for majority of the time, Philadelphia, the Eagles, are always a respectable football team. They're always a tough out for the most part, and they always put a good product out there on the field. Outside of, a few moments with Doug Peterson, the end of Andy Reid, the end of Chip Kelly, and also just this past season with Sirianni. And when you look at that press conference by Jeffrey Lurie, let's do this. How did he come across? I thought he came off very clear. I thought he came off very clean in terms of how he approached the Philadelphia Eagles. I thought he came across as very likable. I just found the comments bizarre. Why now? It just seemed very convenient to come out with the press conference at this time. And some of the stuff he said was just interesting. Hell, he was asked directly about Sirianni, whether or not the guy's on the hot seat for this upcoming season. And I don't know about you guys, the man completely avoided the question, in my opinion. Completely dodged that question. When you're talking about their process in Philadelphia, it just seemed odd. A lot of opinions in that building. A lot of opinions that Lurie seeks for. Now, I'm not saying we're an incompetent organization, but I do find it odd just how involved he seems to be on football decisions. I mean, it's one thing to approve signing checks because you're the owner and you want to have a certain direction for the team. I don't mind that either. But it just seemed odd when he was asked about Sirianni and the hires of Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio. The comments were just bizarre. They talked about how Kellen Moore was interviewed for the head coaching process. They really liked Kellen Moore. And now all of a sudden, Nick Sirianni decided, hey, you know what? On the year that my contract's about to finish up, let me hire Kellen Moore as the offensive coordinator. A guy that I know the Eagles, the organization, liked as a head coaching candidate in previous years. Let's hire that guy as my OC. I don't know. Seems kind of odd to me. To me, that doesn't seem like a Nick Sirianni hire. And I said this in episodes past. This seems like, hey, the up top guys, Lori and Howie, stepped in and said, listen, bro, we tried giving you the ability to hire coaches. It did not work out. Hire the guy that we want. That's what that looked like to me. That's what those comments to me suggested. And when he was asked directly about Sirianni's job security, he completely avoided the question. Listen, guys, go ahead and watch that press conference one more time, because I know most Eagle fans probably sat down and watched it. And he came off, look, as clean and as calm as he came off, and how likable he came off, because that's what they do when they're on the microphone. They're very good. They, meaning like owners and, you know, guys in upper management, they always come across, for the most part, as very, very authentic and clean. Just take a listen again and tell me it wasn't an odd press conference to have. It seemed out of the blue to me. It seemed, you know, convenient in the timing where Philadelphia at this point right now, the fans are at a high, and only now Jeffrey Lurie comes out to speak about what happened last season after the things that he's gotten to go his way this year have been a success. It just seemed odd. And maybe I'm overthinking it. Maybe I'm being a sourpuss. Maybe it's just something I shouldn't be concerned about. But I do know this about football teams, guys. And I think most fans know this too. When owners get too involved in football operations, or when managers get too involved in coaching personnel, whatever it is, when the upper management people get too involved in football operations and don't let football people do football things, that's where you have a problem. That's where you look at it and say, oh, this is a team that isn't going to win football games. Look what's going on in Dallas. Dallas has got the same problem. They've had the same problem for 25 years. 25 to 30 years, rather. That owner gets too involved in football decisions. Look at Carolina. That owner gets too involved in football decisions. Philadelphia is looking like, hell, look at the Giants. The new ownership group there got too involved in football decisions with wanting to draft Daniel Jones, signing into a big contract extension after a playoff win when he threw for 15 touchdowns that year. And now they got immediate buyer's remorse. You look at all these, look at Washington with Snyder. When the owner gets too involved, you got a problem. And as good as Jeffrey Lurie has been, he's had Andy Reid, Doug Peterson, Chip Kelly. For the most part, he's usually out of football discussions. But now all of a sudden, with Sirianni, with Howie Roseman, to me, something smells fishy where he's involved more and more and more. And to me, as a fan, if I had to just look at it objectively, it smells like a problem. And his press conference, you look at it, even writers in Philly believe that it was a bizarre conference. To me, the comments looked odd. They sounded odd, bizarre, oddly timed, in my opinion. Why did we have to hear from him all of a sudden? And you know what? Sirianni, as much as we shit on the guy, what's the guy supposed to do? He's got to kiss his ass. That's probably the only reason he didn't get fired. It's also the reason why I think Lurie insisted that Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio be the coordinator hires. Kellen Moore was a head coaching candidate that they vetted, that they really liked a few years ago. And Vic Fangio, a guy that they respect, was also a head coach in years past. I don't know. As much as I love Philly and as much as I love this team, this seems odd. We're just going to have to wait and see how this plays out because Philadelphia has a unique opportunity this season in terms of talent in the NFC to make some noise. But one thing's for damn sure, and you can't deny it either. I don't care what you tell me. The more and more an NFL owner gets involved in football operations, the less and less and less you win. Hey, you got through a full episode of the Riding the Bench Eagles podcast. Thank you for watching. If you want to support the channel, hit the like and subscribe button below. You can also check us out on Instagram at the Riding the Bench Podcast with a K instead of C in the word podcast. And also check us out on audio platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, you name it, we're on there. All that is in the description below. Please come back next time for the Riding the Bench Eagles podcast. Thanks for listening.